Hi, my name is Juliet, and I'm the host for this podcast. And it's very exciting because I will be ordained as a rabbi in just under 2 months, or just about 2 months from now. And as part of my journey, one of the things that I love about Judaism is being able to take the Torah and making it relevant to today. I mean, everybody wants to do that, right? You want it to be relevant. And the way I do it is by telling stories about my own life and the stories of other people and the world and current events. So I'm very grateful that you're here listening. And thanks for being here. So this week I'm talking about Wise Hope and Vayera. And, my tummy hurts. I'm joking. What I mean to say is I couldn't stomach going out into the gorgeous weather yet again yesterday. We've had this string of beautiful days for the past, 2 weeks. It got cold a couple of months ago, and then suddenly it started to get really warm. And it's been way too warm for New York City at this time of year. The temperature went to the upper 70s on Sunday for the New York City Marathon. And you know why they do it in November, right? They do it because it's cold. It's supposed to be cold, and all these people are sweating to death. And, it just reminded me of, ugh. So I stayed inside as a protest yesterday. I did go to the marathon because I was hanging out. But I stayed inside yesterday when the humidity lifted, and it was gorgeous, but it was too warm. And I was just like, I'm not going to go out and enjoy this weather. No. Which doesn't make a bit of a difference to the world, right? Why do that? That's just silly. And I'm thinking like, okay, if it weren't for my spiritual practice, I would be a total curmudgeon. You know, because I'm like, while so many people are enjoying it, I find it really hard not to think of when the next devastating hurricane will hit. The world is one. The world is one big hot mess. Our country is one big hot mess. Today is election day, the midterm elections, and that's all that's been on the news. And between the weather being so screwed up and the midterm elections, the political arena, the conspiracy theories that are abounding, it just throws me into this place that I'm trying so hard not to live in. And it's because, you know, I'm hearing about, I have to educate myself. I need to know what's going on. So I listened to this podcast on the media, the episode called Free and Fair. It was excellent, but it causes all kinds of angst, and important boundaries are being crossed by those who ask and expect election workers to break the law and literally endanger the election process. These volunteers would like to, quote, help by interfering with the ballot counting process in Georgia. It's very upsetting. It's like the people who broke in and stormed the White House almost 2 years ago, crossing boundaries with their violence. I could go on, but do you really want me to? I don't think so. It's hard to stomach. But this week's Torah portion is also hard to stomach. So, like, they put me in the same place. Important boundaries are being crossed constantly in the Parsha. There's the breaking down of doors. So this is Sodom and Gomorrah in the town of Sodom. These angels come along, and angels, are they men? Can't tell exactly, but Lot, Abraham's nephew, invite them to come. He's like, come stay in my house. You don't have to stay in the town square all night. Come stay with me. And then these men, this whole mob comes to break down the doors and to get to these two guys, and they wanna rape them. And so there's this almost rape of the male visitors by the town's male population. That's where we get the idea of sodomy. That's where we get the term. It's an interesting little tidbit, right, when I learned that. And here's another crossing of boundary. Lot's offering of his virgin daughters instead of instead of the men. Why would you do that? Offer, oh, you can have my daughters, no problem. And you can do whatever you want with them. And they're virgins, so, you know, like, enjoy yourself. Boundaries. Then Lot's daughters get him drunk after Sodom and Gomorrah have been destroyed, and they don't, and they've escaped. And remember, Lot's wife looks behind, and she turns, the angels tell him, don't look back, and she turns to salt, that famous story. Well, the next boundary that's crossed is Lot's daughters get him drunk and lie with him in order to get pregnant and continue the species. They think that the whole human race is gone, and they say we have to continue the species, which is crazy. So crossing boundaries, I think I'd rather die. It's true. And then Sarah, here's another one. Sarah, again, posing as Abraham's sister with yet another king. And then Sarah giving birth at 90. Not a good idea. There should be a boundary there. And God commanding Abraham to sacrifice his son as a test. That should not be something that God would ask Abraham to do or command him to do. And then Abraham listening to God. And then almost going through with it. Boundary, no, this is my son. I'm not going to do this. You yourself said this is the son, the one that I love. Well, he loves his other son too, but this is the one. This is Abraham's. This is Sarah's child. And then God changing his mind. Just kidding. Didn't mean it. No, stop. All these boundaries that should never be crossed. It's one big hot mess. What do we do with it all? What about our boundaries around ourselves and finding a way of protecting ourselves? How do we live with both at the same time? How do we protect ourselves and also be aware and be active? It comforts me to hear lifelong meditation teacher Tara Brach, you know her, right? Talk about, if you don't, look her up, Tara Brach, B-R-A-C-H. 40, 50 years, I don't know, she's been doing this for 40 years or something like that. And she, this Buddhist meditation teacher, spiritual leader, she was talking about sleepless nights of panic and anxiety over the midterm elections and the state of the world. I heard her just today. And I was like, oh, wow, even Tara Brach is going through this. That's great. Like, that makes me feel much better about myself. So what does she do? She goes to her spiritual practice for help. And so do I. And part of my spiritual practice is going to her for help. Because sometimes I need ideas to pass on. I need to spread the word out from other people. We're all here in this one big thing together. We are all one and we're all connected. So what does she say? She says that what she's learned over so many decades of teaching spiritual practice is that the more trust or hope a person has, the more a person gets engaged. And then, as a result, the more change actually happens. She calls this wise hope, to trust in possibility. And this extends beyond the personal to the entire world. As she says, the spiritual leaders that have inspired transformational movements all had a revolutionary vision, a sense of possibility for our collective potential. They all believed in rooting activism in love and compassion. And the more each of us has a vision, she reminds us, the more we energize that unfolding. She read a poem, a couple of poems, but here are some words from her friend, poet Dana Faulds. Where there's love, there's possibility. And where there's possibility, there's energy. And where there's energy, anything at all can happen. And where anything can happen, surely something good will come of it. If at any point things seem to go awry, That's when I begin again with love. Isn't that beautiful? That's when I begin again with love. Tara Brach beseeches us, rekindle wise hope. This same loving has existed through history. It connects us all with all others who have love for life, who want to serve life, with all those alive who are feeling the same thing that we are, our great concern and our great love, wanting to be a part of the healing. She asks us each to sense ourselves as a flow through, letting the river of loving care flow, move through us. She reminds us that we belong to this current of the awakening heart, of past, present, and future people who have gone through this before us, and entrusting ourselves to this intrinsic and shared goodness that is the source of our life and the source of hope. I end with more words from Dana Faulds. Take all the fear in the world and bring it here. Throw it in a heap. Now find insecurity and doubt. Locate shame and anger, hatred and depravity, and add them to the pile. Find every obstacle to love. If the whole world's suffering can't asphyxiate your love, that's a tongue twister. If the whole world's suffering can't asphyxiate your love, then there's hope for us. Hold your love aloft in the gathering darkness and watch peace spread its white wings wide. And if you can keep your love alive, then war and madness won't have the last word. Even now, the dove is flying. Shabbat Shalom. Keep your boundaries. Keep your spiritual practices protected. That's what I'm trying to do in the midst of all of this madness, all this craziness. And please visit my website, tamid.us, TAMID.us. You can make a donation, much appreciated, much needed, to continue this work. And you can also learn about spiritual direction. Maybe I am meant to be your spiritual director, your spiritual guide, the person that works with you one-on-one or in a group, helping you through on your spiritual journey, through your spiritual journey, helping give clarity, bringing clarity to your own life and your mission and your where you're going in life and where you fit in with the world and all of this other stuff that's going on, and finding meaning in all of this. Maybe, just maybe. So, tamid.us and all the other things that a rabbi does. So, from Juliet, the almost rabbi, Shabbat Shalom. And I'll see you next week.